to all who come to this happy podcast, welcome. Hi, I'm Scott Jacobs, and I'm a huge Disney fan, so much so that I created this podcast. On the show, I chat with Disney cast members and Disney on Broadway friends about all things Disney, including the rides, shows, food, and characters. I also do Disney trip recaps and magical moments, which are deep dives on Disney topics such as hidden secrets in the parks, tips and tricks for planning your trip and navigating the parks, and so much more. Now, put on your Mickey ears or your princess crown and buckle up, because this here's the wildest podcast on the internet. This is season 3 of The Mouse and Me. Hello, everyone. I'm glad you found your way to The Mouse and Me. If you're new to the podcast, welcome, and if you're returning, welcome back. In last week's episode, Lisa and I talked about her long and incredible career as a singing and dancing cast member in Magic Kingdom, Epcot, and Tokyo Disneyland. Lisa also shared what it was like riding on Walt Disney's private airplane. Before we get to the rest of our conversation, I'd like to share some fun things that happened. On this day in Disney history. The drop date for this episode is March 19th, and on this day in 1928, Disney's Oswald the Lucky Rabbit black and white silent short Bright Lights was released. It was directed by Walt Disney himself, and in this short, Oswald attempts to see a female performer for free by sneaking backstage. In 1946, singer Ruth Pointer of the Pointer Sisters is born in East Oakland, California. She sang Streets of Gold for the 1988 Disney animated feature Oliver and Company. In 1999, Elton John appeared on The Rosie O'Donnell Show, promoting Disney's new stage musical Aida, for which he wrote the music. And finally, in 2021, The Falcon and the Winter Soldier premiered on Disney Plus with the episode New World Order. This series is set in the Marvel Cinematic Universe and shares continuity with the films of the franchise. This show ran for 6 episodes, and the cast includes Sebastian Stan, Anthony Mackie, Wyatt Russell, Aaron Kellyman, Don Cheadle, Emily Van Camp, and Julia Louis-Dreyfus. And that was On This Day in Disney History for March 19th. And now I give you the rest of my conversation with Lisa Leonard. I hope you enjoy it. For some, change can be a very difficult thing and others embrace it and thrive on it. I also know that many of the components of the entertainment industry are intertwined. You went from being a performer to a choreographer and then to a show director to casting and then worked as an events and promotions manager. What facilitated those changes from each facet of the entertainment industry?
Oh my goodness, Scott. This was a time, and it still is this way. This was a time at Walt Disney World where people that were in charge of shows really knew you and really trusted you. And so once I moved to New York City, that was at a time when I was ready to transition from being a dancer. And that's once I moved to New York City is actually when that tour happened. And So after the tour was over, I was here in New York City and was asked to be a part, a leader for the character department that we have here. And my leader right now is Terry Hamill. And at the time, that was when the company was really expanding and really knowing the importance of keeping that brand strong as they always do. And so I was here in New York City, and that's really when I was asked to do casting. And that was just a matter of people from the Disney Channel. I wish I remembered their names because they're such amazing at that time. You know, Disney Channel was just happening. And they were doing these, and the part of the company that were doing these release parties. So that is really how I got my foot in the door with casting for Walt Disney, or, you know, for the Disney company, was that these producers called down to Florida and they said, oh, we have a character department up here. And one of the managers of our character department was actually one of our lead dancers. So she can help you. So that's really where I did my choreography. They were like, okay, they would give you the project and just trust you to say, go cast it, which of course I cast all of my Disney friends who were currently living in New York City, who were also fellow dancers. And then we all worked together on the choreography. My son, Jesse, has been involved in the choreography. If I had to do a traffic pattern, like, okay, Jesse, walk from stage left to stage right. And he was little, but he would do it. So that is really where I got my feet wet with casting and choreographing. And it was just people that knew, you know, word of mouth, Scott, how still things happen, not as frequently probably, but at that time, that was probably a phone call that was made down to Florida. And then my leaders down there were like, oh, Lisa lives in New York City, just use her. So that was amazing. That was amazing to be trusted with that much, you know, responsibility. It was amazing.
Sure, sure. When you ran auditions and ultimately cast a show, did you find that it was easier for you to take on those roles because you had a performance background?
Oh, 100%. You've been on the other side of the table and you just can't help but understand what those performers are thinking right when they step in front of you. So yeah, it's a great gift to be passing forward and make sure, you know, if somebody makes a mistake, you're the first to say, oh my goodness, let's do that again. You know, just make the people that are auditioning feel great. Now, Scott, a lot of this was a phone call similar to my career.
sure.
You know, moving to New York and calling down to Florida because they had an audition happening here in New York City. And I saw in the backstage, do you remember this newspaper? You're too young probably to remember, but the backstage used to be a newspaper that
Yeah,
every Wednesday, I think it came out. And I opened up the backstage and I saw that Disney was doing an audition. And I called down to Florida, that 407 number probably, Linda, may I help you? And I called down to Florida and I said, hey, I live here. Oh yeah, Lisa, we know you, you know, you moved to New York City. We moved here so that my Scott could be in Rockapella. So they said, oh yeah, we know you live in New York City. Yeah, we're going to need help at the audition. Show up at the audition and you're going to help. So from that really was when they were casting the character department. And from that casting, Carol Campbell then invited me to have breakfast with her and then let me know some very good advice. Which I will tell you, but she also let me know that she and her, you know, fellow teammates wanted to start this character department because at the time, character things may have unexpectedly been used at bar mitzvahs and bat mitzvahs and quinceañeras and things like that with non-trained performers. So that was not okay. So that was really why this department was started here in New York City, was to keep our brand special and make sure that anytime Mickey and Minnie were seen, that this was done the correct way. Yes, Carol Campbell gave me some great advice, Scott. She, also a mom, just let me know to keep in the forefront at all times that Disney is a family company and that my family comes first. And for me, she knew my passion and she has a really strong passion for Disney as well. And she knew that I would probably be a cast member who'd say, oh, that's okay. I'll miss my son's first birthday party because I have this event with Mickey Mouse, those kinds of things. And she gave me some great advice that morning to just say, Lisa, don't miss those things. Disney will be there. You know, somebody else can do the event, or, you know, the event can be changed, the date or whatever, if it can, but don't miss those important things in your family life. And she knew that I had married a Disney cast member as well. And so she just knew the importance of Disney to our family. And she also knew the importance of keeping your family first. And that's something I've never forgotten. I have many jobs, Scott, as you know, but I have never had a job that I felt that way to the core. Even those days when I'm at Epcot with my name tag on, you know, working for Food and Wine or working as a manager for Disney character events, if something happened with my family, no questions asked. I went to my leader, fellow managers, I took my name tag off, I got my car keys and drove home to Tampa. And that is what we used to call, remember the Priceless commercials that used to be on? Those are those priceless moments, Scott, that you're at a job that's so important and so amazing, but yet you know your family comes first and everybody you work with understands that. And for them as well, you know?
Sure. I totally understand that.
And it's a beautiful feeling because you work, you know, I'm surprised you haven't worked for Disney, or have you?
I have not yet.
Yet.
Never.
That's a yet for you. You're doing it. You're doing it. Or you've got two amazing kids. One of those kids will do a Disney contract.
Funny you should say that. All right. So, so Ella continues to say, I want to work on Broadway. I want to be a Rockette. I want to work for Walt Disney World. I want to work on a Disney cruise, and I want to work at Disneyland Paris. And we're like, and we want all of that for you. And, you know, we took the kids to Paris this past April. And of course we did a couple of days at Disney because, I mean, when in Paris, you need to visit Disneyland Paris. Ella was so thrilled about being there and the experiences that we were having. And she's like, I want to move to Paris. Like, she loved the city. She took dance classes when we were there. And we're like, well, we want you to move there. And she gives me this look. I'm like, well, Ella, we want you to be happy. Our good friends live in Paris. We love Disneyland Paris. This way we can visit you all the time. And she's like, oh, okay. And she was fine with it. But so, yeah, so we're really, you know, of course we will help her however we can for whatever she decides to do. But selfishly, we would love for her to work at Disneyland Paris.
But Scott, that's how it happened. That's how I told you my story. I saw Disney performers and I was like, the bell goes off and you can't help it. So I understand this. I can't wait to talk to her about this. This is so exciting. All of her dreams are, you know, similar to, I think I told you, my daughter was lucky enough to do a contract at Walt Disney World for a Christmas contract in 2019. So this is so exciting. And for you and Tracy to experience this as well with your kids, you know, it's very exciting to see your own kid up on stage doing something they love. I imagine if we had my mom here right now, she would tell you the same thing. But my mom and dad, my dad before he passed away, got to see my daughter up on that castle stage. And there's not even a word to describe that. It's one of my favorite photos. I have a photo of my dad looking up at Natalie. And that's pretty amazing. But both kids actually performed at Disney officially. Jesse, my son, and Natalie were both part of the Christmas parades when they were younger. Which was a pretty amazing experience. The show director, when Natalie did it twice, and Jesse, was Tara Anderson. And Tara Anderson is still there as one of our amazing show directors. I hope you get the chance to talk to her at some point. So, yeah, it's pretty amazing to see your kid on a float going down Main Street and then to watch it on Christmas morning. Natalie did her two times with Bear in the Big Blue House. With the bear. Mm-hmm. So that was really cute. And Jesse was on a float with my good friend, Angela, longtime Disney friend, Angela Fulcher. She and her kids were actually on the float as well. So there's nothing like that. Seeing your kids not just have fun at Disney, not just like seeing Ella at, you know, Disneyland, but what the day you get to see her up on the stage will be a day that you won't forget. You will get to enjoy that.
I know that when we go to dance competitions now, and you know, if I can't make it in person, I'll stream it.
Oh yeah.
But also every year through our dance studio, we do a winter show called Snow Queen, which Frozen is based off of.
Yes.
And we also do a spring showcase. And look, I am honestly not saying this because she's my kid and because Ben is my kid. And for those who have seen Ella and Ben dance, they will tell you, but I am supremely impressed with the level of their talent, the quality of their dancing, the maturity that they have on stage. They are wickedly talented, so much more talented. And Tracy and I say this all the time, so much more talented than she and I ever were. It's unbelievable. And they're still learning. Well, I mean, they'll forever be learning, but I mean, they're still learning, like Ben is in college, Ella's in high school. Like, they're still learning in that respect, but I can't wait to see where this takes them.
Yeah.
I cannot wait.
The business is fascinating, and we celebrate social media in our house for good and the bad. And I do think, Scott, you and Tracy are younger than Scott and I, but I do think that there is a very positive thing that can happen with social media, with TikTok, with all of this, because if I wanted to watch a dance, I couldn't go to YouTube. We had VHS
tapes. That's right. Yes. Yes.
Using a camera to tape a television special. So that's how I saw the opening of Hollywood Studios. We were over in Tokyo Disneyland and, you know, it was MGM.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So somebody took their, you know, camera and put it up, you know, in front of the TV, recorded it that way onto a VHS. Actually, the camera, you could buy a camera that recorded onto VHS.
Yeah, it was a big camcorder. You'd hold it and part of it would sit on your shoulder.
Probably 50 pounds. And
yes.
So, and that, you know, that VHS got sent to Tokyo Disneyland, and that we gathered around our, you know, small screen television in Tokyo Disneyland and popped in the VHS and watched the opening. Can you even imagine? In fact, that reminds me, Scott, we used to communicate with cassette tapes. How fun is this?
Yes.
Most of our cars had cassette tape players. Most of us had cassette recorders or Walkmans at the time that you could record into. And we were over in Japan, so we could get the really fancy ones. We would record messages to each other. So we would take our cassette recorder to the dressing room at Diamond Horseshoe, and everybody would say hello in English and in Japanese, and we would send messages. And then I'd, you know, send it over to Scott's dressing room and all of the band and Scott and, you know, his fellow performer. And then we would send these cassette tapes back to our friend, and then they would record something from Disney World and like send it over. Is that hilarious?
Amazing.
I don't even
Please
know.
Please tell me you still have those tapes.
No, I don't think so. But that's another story. Never mind. Anyway.
The Woods reference. Very
there
good.
There you go. And I think we recorded over them, because you could do that, right? Yeah, you could record
over them. Yes. As long as you didn't pull that tab, you could record over them.
Wasn't that a fun day that I got to meet you all before you went into Some Like It Hot with the incredible Angie Schwar up on stage, playing the drums, being funny? Isn't she amazing?
She is. She and I actually set a date on the calendar for, when is it? It's coming up in like 3 or 4 weeks. I'll be interviewing her. So thank you for that connection.
Of course. Of course. That's one of my favorite things to do, Scott, is make connections. It is, like I said, it's a gift that I was given working for the company, and knowing how much you love and respect Disney and want great stories. I've got so many storytellers for you lined up. I'm excited.
Yay.
And we thank Russell Fox, because Russell was the one who let you know that, you know, how much I love Disney and how important it is to me. Yeah, it's great.
Yes. And actually, Russell and I are now friends. We text probably every couple of days. At the time of this recording, this coming Tuesday, it'll be my birthday. And as I mentioned, I'll be in Walt Disney World.
Yes.
Russell is meeting me at Animal Kingdom at 10 o'clock in the morning on my birthday. And we're going to watch Billy in Finding Nemo, and then we're going to hang for the day. I can't wait.
I love this so much. I love it. I love it. I love it. And this is, like I said, our connection, you know, is long lasting as well. And anything I can ever do to help your kids, and, you know, from what people I know here in New York, because, you know, all the cast members here in New York that are in Aladdin and Lion King, as of, I want to say 2, maybe 3 years ago, they're all actually official cast members. So when you're in either of those Disney shows on Broadway, you actually have a cast member ID, and you're actually a cast member. So all of those things that Ella says she wants to do in whatever order. And I have a feeling your son, once somebody dangles the carrot of money in front of him and says, oh, here's a cruise line contract, this is how much it pays, or here's a Tokyo Disneyland contract, this is how much it pays, it will be hard to say no.
So he and I have had that conversation. And when his eyes got big, yes, what you just said will happen. Because he ultimately said, he's like, Dad, I just want to work. I'm like, work you shall.
And work you shall. Yes.
Yeah.
There was an old saying, which is not really that true anymore, but it was like, raise your sons to be dancers and your daughters to be technicians, and both will never be out of work. Thank goodness the world has changed. And I think the technical world is not so, inundated now with just mail. But, a long time ago, that definitely was the case.
Oh,
But yeah, they
sure.
were like, yeah, then your son will never be out of work. I understand, Scott, because my kids in whatever job they're doing, because of my career at Disney that I still have and Scott's prior career at Disney, what my kids got to experience going to Walt Disney World so many times and seeing me at work with my name tag on, Natalie actually doing a contract, Jesse being there as a guest, but not just a regular guest, a guest of going into the parks by himself, with both of my kids started doing it like the age of 11. And once Jesse turned 11, I'm pretty sure I sent Natalie with him sometimes. But their understanding of the Disney way and the Disney way of treating people is in every job they do. Every job they do. Jesse was in a drumline here in New York City that performed at all the Jets and Giants and Knicks games. And the compliments I would hear from all of his coworkers and leaders were, wow, Jesse pays attention to detail. He's the one who puts the drums away, the uniforms away. And I've done gigs with both of my kids, and I see the integrity they have for our business. And I can't help but think that the same as you and Tracy, by you all being in the business and understanding how important it is, and by our Disney careers, they understand the respect that you need to have for other people. I just worked with a cast member the other night at Service Awards here in New York City. And what a great night that is in New York City. It was at the Plaza Hotel, which is a gorgeous hotel. And Disney, the producers are out of California, and they come in and just bling this amazing, already amazing looking ballroom out in Disney style. And I had a cast member I worked with the other night, and they said, "Hey, are you Natalie Leonard's mom?" And I was like, "Yes, I am." And they said, "I worked with Natalie in the Christmas show, and she was amazing. She was so nice to the cast and so nice to the technicians." And so I was very proud to hear that. Of course, I saw firsthand how amazing she was on stage, but I want to hear from the people that make it happen. And the same with
Sure.
Jesse Scott. I was so proud to a few times have done gigs with my son, and it's 1 in the morning and all the other drummers leave, but my son's putting the drums in the drum cases. He's hanging all of the coveralls that the drum line wore up for the wardrobe person. And the wardrobe person looks over at me and she's like, "Nobody does this anymore." And I was like, I just smile, because that's the part of our business that's so important.
I mean, they had good role models. They saw you and your husband, and they're doing what's right.
And our friends as well. And our friends as well. There are many times that, we would call Dan Lobuno Uncle Dan, because when we go in the park and he was working at the studios for oh my goodness, what's the name of it? American Idol. Yeah. He was working at American Idol as one of the judges. And he would come out and, help us get fast passes to things. And just being able to do that as a Disney cast member and Disney manager is so much fun, Scott. I kind of wish I was there in my manager capacity when you were there, because that is something really fun to do, is like to just find out like what you and Tracy, I'm guessing Tracy's going with you.
So here's the deal with that.
Sorry, Tracy.
She can't get the time away from work.
Gotcha.
She's a school teacher,
Oh,
and
yeah, of
both kids are
course.
in school. Again, Ben's in college. Ella's in Tracy's classes. So Ella
Yeah.
can't go. So I'm going solo. But of course, as I
Ooh,
mentioned, I'll
fun.
be hanging with Billy and Russell and other friends who were on the podcast as well. It'll be nice. I'll be alone, but I won't be alone.
Good. And you're doing the things that sometimes, Tracy would obviously go with you, or your kids would go with you, but they're sort of personal things for you. So that's really great that you get to go by yourself. I love it. I wish I was there to make magic for you. But
Well,
Billy, you're in
look,
good hands.
I am.
You're in
So, all
good
right.
hands.
So I just pulled it up. I pulled up the music app here on my iPad. So for Rockapella, I have the album Smilin'.
Awesome. Beautiful.
And the songs that I've listened to on repeat, Surf and Safari, and Here Comes the Sun. And then I've purchased individual songs as Santa Claus Is Coming to Town, A2, Proud to Beg, Blame It on the Boogie, Brick House, Dancing in the Street. Like, they're incredible. And the fact that he works for them, that's so cool.
Yeah, that actually happened while we were at Tokyo Disneyland. Again, backstage. We had just finished our contract at Disneyland and came back, read the backstage. They were looking for a high tenor. Scott sent a VHS of show he had done called American Oldies with the live band Horizon and another American singer as his auditioned piece. And we laugh. We're still very good friends with the originators of Rockapella, Sean Altman and Elliot Kerman. And we laugh that we're not sure whether they were so intrigued by where the heck Scott was or, you know, both. Because not only is Scott an amazing, one of my favorite singers ever, amazing singer and beautiful voice, but just to see him dressed in a 50s American oldies outfit, jacket, you know, dressed to the nines with an all Japanese band and all mostly Japanese audience, they were like, what's happening? So yeah, he got the job. He got the job. Yeah, Rockapella is still going strong. They have a great presence, of course, at Christmas time. They do Christmas concerts all over the nation, and they had one here in New York City. So that was really fun. The whole family got to go, and some friends from some Disney friends.
That's
as
so
well.
Cool.
Yeah, that was really fun.
That's so cool. Earlier, you mentioned that Carol gave you some really good advice. Do you have any advice for anyone wanting to work for the Walt Disney Company in entertainment?
My advice is take the job. It will pay forward in your career. Disney is equity now. Of course, you can work there non-union, but it is your calling card to the world. I cannot think of a job I've had, Scott, where as soon as people find out, I was a fit model for Tahari here in New York City. Tahari is a very well-known designer. I was a fit model for him. As soon as he found out I worked for Disney, people know that you've been trained by Disney, not just for performing and doing the shows. It's not just that. It's the whole package, Scott. So once you have that Disney training, it just explodes in the rest of your life.
If you were an Imagineer, what's a new Disney ride concept that you'd build?
I think I would like a ride that really took you through as if you were in the movie Mary Poppins, right? Mm. There's just so much. Well, the music of Mary Poppins is so amazing.
A ride that
really embraced all of that would be so much fun, right? I think you would have to fly and you would have to sit on a table and go up to the ceiling when you laughed and, right?
Yes, yes.
There's so many things, but wow, that's a good question. I could probably talk about that a long time, you know, just put my mind to it. But Mary Poppins, right? Yeah, that'd be really fun.
And of course, it would be in Epcot in England.
Yeah, of course. Of course. And there's plenty of room right backstage in England.
Which Disney villain would you most want to have dinner with?
Cruella de Vil.
Why?
Oh, just, you know, you can see somewhere in there there's a heart, but she's just wants to be thought of as so mean and cruel, you know, and just the fashion. Oh yes. But you, but inside that character, you know, there's a heart. So yeah, just having fun, you know, just sitting in a restaurant with her. I mean, the looks you would get, the paparazzi that would show up.
Yeah, that's true. Do you have a favorite Disney park out of all of the parks in the world?
Out of all the parks that I've been to, Tokyo Disney Sea. I remember standing outside the entrance and looking up because the entrance gates are lower than some high points of the park. And I'm sure my jaw was on the floor. I mean, it is just a gorgeous park. Gorgeous, gorgeous. And it every attention to detail was, you know, they're like, oh, we built the Magic Kingdom. And now we're going to build this new park. So isn't it cute? Word, you know, play on words, land and sea, S-E-A.
I love it.
Don't you love it? I mean, even that detail is so amazing.
If you had to describe Tokyo DisneySea using only three words, what would they be?
Spectacular, amazing, and fantastic.
What's a Disney movie that hasn't been on Broadway yet that you think should be?
I love the music of Encanto because I saw a live version that California did at the Hollywood Bowl. Have you seen a YouTube of that?
I have not.
It's very good. It's spectacular. I think that would do really well on Broadway. And that would fit in nicely, okay. Right? You've got Aladdin, you've got Lion King, and then bring in Encanto. And I think guests would really embrace it and love it. And that's timeless as well. That's stories about culture. It's stories about thinking you're good at something, searching for that gift. When I teach my students dance here in New York City with dancing classrooms, I sometimes bring in those moments of like, you know, I was not given that gift of remembering everybody's name. So would you please remind me of your name? So, and a lot of the kids go, oh, like Encanto. So that's a music that, you know, music that really resonated with my New York students. So I love it. And oh my goodness, one of my favorite things to do is arrive early when the kindergartners are still in the auditorium, because the way their schools do it, the kindergartners wait in the auditorium, so they're not mixed in with the rest of the older kids. And then their teachers come get them. So if I get there early before the first class, I'll turn on the song Bruno from Encanto. The whole auditorium is singing. The entire
amazing.
Teachers and students alike. And I've done a couple of posts with Facebook and said, Lin-Manuel Miranda, the power of your song. They all know it. It's really cute. Really cute.
Lisa, during every interview, I like to play some Disney games with my guest. Are you up for playing some Disney games with me?
Let's do it.
And now it's time to play Huey, Dewey, and Louie. Lisa, I'm going to name three things, and you have to rank them in the order you prefer. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, this first one deals with snacks. So Huey, Dewey, and Louie, frozen banana, chocolate and caramel covered marshmallow Mickey, Cheshire cat tail.
Frozen banana, number one.
Okay.
And then number two would be the Mickey.
Okay.
Right. And then number three was what? The caramel yumminess?
Cheshire cat tail.
Yes.
Okay.
That would be number three.
Why the frozen banana?
Oh, I've been eating a frozen banana since 1971. That was one of the first, that was one of the first treats. I mentioned I went to the opening with my across the street neighbors who were FBI agents. And I had a frozen banana.
The next one takes us to restaurants in Magic Kingdom. So Huey, Dewey, and Louie, we have Pecos Bill Tall Tale Inn and Cafe, Liberty Tree Tavern, Jungle Skipper Canteen.
Ooh. Jungle Skipper Canteen, number one.
Okay.
Liberty Tree, number two. And Pecos, number three.
Isn't Jungle Skipper Canteen just a lot of fun?
So much fun. The cast members that they cast in there to come and either seat you or, it's just amazing. It's just really amazing. The food's delicious.
It is delicious. It really is. I was so pleasantly surprised with Liberty Tree Tavern because, you know, years and years and years ago, people like, oh, you can get a Thanksgiving meal 365 days a year. I'm like, oh, okay, that's fine. And look, I do love a good Thanksgiving meal.
Yes.
If it's in the middle of summer or if it's January, like the last thing I'm thinking is let's have a Thanksgiving meal. So one year I went in January, a friend of mine said, the food's incredible. Let's go to Liberty Tree Tavern. Lisa, it was stellar. It was so good.
We used to have characters in there. I'm not sure if they're still there.
When I went, it was over COVID. It was in 2020 and then 2021. I'm sorry. No, COVID hit in 2020. This was in 2021 and 2022. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
They didn't have characters.
Yeah, they might bring that back. But yeah, we had characters in that restaurant as well. Really fun. Really fun experience. No, the food is fantastic. But yeah, Jungle, yep. Right? Love it.
It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. So this next one brings us to restaurants with meet and greets. So Huey, Dewey, and Louie, Cinderella's Royal Table, the Garden Grill, the Crystal Palace.
Cinderella Royal Table is definitely, as you would say, Huey, which is number one, right?
Okay.
Crystal Palace next, and Garden Grill. Mm-hmm. Garden Grill. Yeah.
Cinderella's Royal Table, and, you know, people are going to say, oh, that's so cheesy. But no, to me, it isn't. It is so magical.
Not just that, Scott, but the cast members that get to serve you in that restaurant, some of them have been there as long as I have. Some of them have been there as long as the park's been open. That is a very coveted place to be able to serve guests. It is very magical. It's never going to lose its magic. And Crystal Palace is so fun too. That's where a lot of people go to give their own child their first character experience, because you're eating, doing something fun, and then all of a sudden, you know, Winnie the Pooh comes up, or Eeyore comes up. So sometimes that's a great way to experience, as opposed to standing in a line. You're already doing something. Mm-hmm. Your kid is having fun eating chicken nuggets or macaroni and cheese. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Garden Grill is so fun too. Garden Grill's really a lot of fun. I was a manager for that restaurant quite a few nights in my life. Really fun. Great guest experience.
I love how it rotates. So you can see part of the big open patio area, and then you can also see part of the land attraction.
Yes. And you can smell it too.
This next one takes us to rides. So Huey, Dewey, and Louie, we have Remy's Ratatouille Adventure, Expedition Everest, Rockin' Roller Coaster.
Expedition Everest is Huey number one, right? Dewey is going to be Rockin' Roller Coaster. Okay. And I have not been on Ratatouille yet. Guilty as charged.
Okay. All right. So that's number three. Isn't Everest just ridiculous?
It's fantastic. It's amazing every time. And that, I just smile when I think of that ride, Scott, because they still do single rider. And as soon as my daughter was old enough, she was in that single rider line, both kids, but especially Natalie. That was a really, really fun way to do it. Just wanted to ride on Everest over and over. And that speaks to the ride too. It's, you just see and feel something different every time. It's fantastic.
The most amount of times that I've looped that was 10.
Wow.
So as soon as I got off, went right back on. I was able to do 10, and then my body just couldn't handle it after that. But boy, was it fun.
Amazing. Yeah.
I have some incredible front row pictures from that attraction. I had a death grip on my iPhone, and I'll have to send them to you because the photos are so beautiful. I'll send them your way as soon as we disconnect.
Yes.
But I'm excited because Russell loves roller coasters. So on Tuesday morning when we meet, we're going to hopefully loop that one a few times.
Mm. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
I can't wait.
We need some live. We need some Facebook Live on that.
Ooh, that would be something. All right. I have one more for you. So this one takes us to shows. So Huey, Dewey, and Louie, we have the Hoop-Dee-Doo Review, Showbiz Is at Magic Kingdom, Swing and Sing at Tokyo Disneyland.
Oh, how could you ever?
I know. I'm killing you, aren't I?
Yes. Showbiz Is and Swing and Sing have to just be side by side. Okay. They just have to be. I mean, both were with live band.
Mm, that does make a big difference.
One of those guitar players, as I mentioned before, is now, next year we'll do it again at Jollywood Nights in the live band they have there in their stage show. And Showbiz Is, we had a live band as well. In fact, many of those band members, Sam Zambito and his Swingin' Nine that they were called off property, were our wedding band.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, Scott and I got married in 1988 in Tampa and had quite the Disney wedding before Disney did weddings. They probably copied us, Scott. And Hoop-Dee-Doo, such a great show. I mean, I love it. I loved it in Japan. I loved it in Florida. I love it.
All right. Well, thank you for playing Huey, Dewey, and Louie. Can we play one more game?
Let's do it.
Excellent. This game is called As the Nose Grows, Pinocchio True or False. I'm going to give you a statement, and you have to tell me whether you think that statement is true or false. Here we go. The Haunted Mansion is a dark ride attraction located at Disneyland, Magic Kingdom, and Tokyo Disneyland, and inspired two similarly themed attractions, Phantom Manor and Mystic Manor, which exist at Disneyland Paris and Hong Kong Disneyland, respectively. True or false? Tokyo Disneyland is the only park where the Haunted Mansion is located in Fantasyland.
Gosh, I was one of the first people to go on that. I'm going to say true, but you know, if you were a guest in the park, here's what I'd say. You know, I'm not sure of the answer to that, but let me text guest services and I'll find out. But I'm going to say true because I don't have that access today, Scott.
Well, Lisa, you have magically texted someone in your mind, and the answer is in fact true. It is true.
Ding, ding, ding.
So when building Tokyo Disneyland, they decided not to include Liberty Square or New Orleans Square in that park. So that marked the first and so far the only time a Haunted Mansion attraction was placed in the land of fantasy.
Love it.
I love my fun facts. All right, I have one more for you. Expedition Everest is a steel roller coaster that can take over 2,000 guests up in the mountain per hour. It opened in 2006, can go up to 50 miles per hour, and drops from 80 feet. True or false? The structure of Expedition Everest is a huge hidden Mickey.
True.
It is, in fact, 100% true. That's right. The mountain itself is the shape of Mickey's head, and the two spirals of track that come out on either side of the mountain make Mickey's ears.
That's amazing, isn't it? Again, there are our Imagineers leaving no stone unturned, no detail missed.
It's unbelievable. If you like look on Apple Maps or Google Maps and you zoom in on that attraction, it is as clear as day.
Oh my goodness, I love it. Love it, love it, love it. That's Scott, you'll have your name tag on one day.
I hope so.
And these are the kinds of things that just are amazing, especially when guests tell you things like facts that you know that you've researched or that a guest has researched and found out. You're like, oh my gosh, I didn't even think that, but it was already thought about by an Imagineer. Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Well, your comment that I'll have a name tag on one day from your lips to Mickey's ears.
That's happening. That's happening. Definitely.
It's out there in the universe. So it will happen.
It will.
Well, Lisa, thank you so much for playing Huey, Dewey, and Louie. And As the Nose Grows, Pinocchio, True or False. I hope you enjoyed yourself.
Scott, you are joyful. I enjoy myself when I'm talking with you anytime, whether we're backstage at a show or on a Zoom.
Yay. In honor of the Disney Fab Five, Mickey, Minnie, Donald, Goofy, and Pluto, I'd like to end each interview with my Fab Five questions. Lisa, who is your favorite Disney character from the movies?
I love Esmeralda, and there are so many reasons why I love her. There's just something really special about that character. And I think it has to do with my son being very young, watching the Hunchback movie with him at a premiere here in New York City. And just the type of female that she was, which at the time was very different, right? That female portrayal was very different for that time. So yeah.
Okay. Who's your favorite character to meet in the parks?
Oh my goodness. You know what was really fun? A favorite character that was really fun to meet over in Tokyo Disneyland was Orange Bird.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Orange Bird at Tokyo Disneyland had a longer line than Pocahontas.
Wow. I wonder why.
I think their merchandise over there for Orange Bird is absolutely bar none amazing. And that character is just like an old, you know, beginning of Disney character, the Orange Bird. So, yeah.
Right.
Really, that's a character that popped into my head when you said that. Of course, I was just hanging out with Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse the other night, and it never gets old. Putting my name tag on and being on stage with Mickey Mouse and getting a hug.
Mm.
It fills my eyes with tears every time. Means a lot.
Yep. Yep. I get it. Ah, all right. And you know, there is no better hug than a hug from Mickey Mouse.
Yeah. I've seen that hug through the eyes of Make-A-Wish children really take you to a place that there are no words. And the power of that, whether it's in a hospital room or somebody's personal home, it leaves you speechless, not just as a cast member, but as a parent. The fact that Walt created something that is so powerful, that is someone's family's last wish for their child. It just, there are no words. It, to see it is something that is life changing and so special to that family. It's just amazing. Yep.
If you could ask any character a question, who would you ask and what would you ask?
Donald Duck.
Here we go.
Could we make a really fabulous pair of bell bottoms for you? Make a really cool pair of pants. Because Donald Duck, when we're in the park together or when we're at an event together, the guests love to make jokes about that.
I mean, show some class, Donald. Come on. Put on some pants.
You know, Donald is very classy. So, yes. Yes, we. Yeah. You prompted that, okay. Scott. I hadn't thought about that before. But yeah, having just been hanging out with Donald Duck the other night, that was a lot of comment.
Okay.
By adults. I was with all adults at Service Awards the other night, so there were no kids in the room. Kids don't think of things like that. Kids are just hugging Donald.
That's right. If you could have one special quality of any Disney character, what would it be?
Oh, wow. That's so hard, because aren't they all so graceful and gracious in each of their own ways? As I mentioned before, mm-hmm. even Cruella, knowing that she has a heart, you know, the mm-hmm. animators are able to portray that. And of course, with the live version as well, that she does have a heart, just hard to dig into. Wow.
Was there a certain character that jumps out at you?
Yes, I like to go through life thinking about how Snow White treated all of her seven friends, right? She mm-hmm. saw them for who they are, her grace in doing that, her presence of mindfulness of what each of the dwarves needed. It's just, when I think about that, didn't she handle that so beautifully? You know, just really being in the room with seven very different personalities and embracing all of that. And that isn't that sort of just why we're on the earth, right? To just build people up, to build each other up.
If you could spend a day with Walt Disney, what would you do?
Oh my goodness. I'm getting emotional thinking about it. What a dream that would be. I think I would just want to sit on one of our many boat docks. I don't care what park it's in, because I know somebody who got the chance to do this on a break. We called him Sully. And Sully got to sit on a bench and talk to Walt. And I will never forget him telling that story. He tells it in some of our, like the 50th celebration that was on, or the 100th celebration that is on. There's a clip of Sully telling the story, and jealous in such a good way, Scott. I just want to talk to him and tell him how appreciative I am that he created this park and this idea because it gave me my family. I met my husband there in 1987. We have two kids, both of them, as I mentioned, in parades. You know, Natalie ended up doing an equity contract there with the Christmas show. So it gave such joy in my life. I just wouldn't want to tell him that. Yeah.
What a perfect answer. Lisa, this has been such an amazing 2+ hours of my life. Thank you. Thank you for making the magic happen this morning. Thank you for making the magic happen with connecting me with people. Just thank you for being you. Thank you for your time and for your friendship. I love you.
I love you right back, Scott. This is one of the amazing things that Disney does, is bring these people together. And it's not a coincidence. I don't really believe in coincidences in life. And the fact that Russell thought of me, and that you and I actually got to meet, and knowing that you and your family love Disney so much and love Broadway so much and New York so much and dance so much, and you own a dance studio, and, you know, my life at the dance studio, both as a teacher and a mom, and just our connections are just beautiful. I joke and say sometimes that if both of you love Disney in your life, you're going to have a long friendship and life together. And that has proven true. So you're stuck with me, Scott. You're stuck with me as your friend. And
amazing.
your whole family's stuck with me because now we have this beautiful connection, you know? And I think Walt knew, right? Don't you think he would have known that he was making connections?
Oh, sure.
I think he knew that, because I think he knew how important that was. He knew how important those connections were in his career.
He is a maker of magic. You are a maker of magic. And thank you again.
Thank you, Scott. And have a magical day.
Have a magical day. And that'll do it for this episode of The Mouse and Me. If you liked what you've heard, please subscribe to the show, rate it, leave a review, and tell all of your friends. And if you didn't like it, well, tell your enemies. Be sure to follow me on the socials by searching The Mouse and Me. You can also email me at themouseandmepodcast@gmail.com and visit patreon.com/themouseandme to support the show. Okay, that's all for now. Thanks for listening, everyone. I hope you have the best day ever, and see you real soon.